Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you feeling the tension of living under the social distancing rules? Are you feeling that tension? We have really enjoyed swimming in our community pool where we live, as we have in previous summers. And even going to the pool, it's a reminder of the social distancing rules that are in play today. Just a short bit ago, we could count on sitting on the chairs, enjoying those chairs and the shade and the canopies and the tables. Now, not so much. At the community pool, gone are the chairs. There's simply tape on the cement that guides you to where you're supposed to be and guides you where you're not supposed to be. A big difference. We used to count on playing with the toys. My favorite was the noodle that you can hit the kids with. That's always fun, hitting kids with noodles. Now all the toys at the pool are completely gone. You've got to bring your own. Then there's this. We used to count on seeing friends and catching up and just kind of shooting the breeze on a summer afternoon. But now you're really not supposed to do that. Now not so much. And this is where that tension occurs. I'm just being honest here about myself. Maybe you've reflected upon this as well. When I see someone in the pool that I haven't seen for 4 or 5 months, I got to tell you, there's a burning desire inside of me to get close and have a conversation and catch up with that person. And I've done that a couple times, and I got to admit that there have been some times in which after that conversations, I've thought, did I share something with them? Illness of some kind? And did I get something from them? It doesn't feel like the greatest feeling. And then there are times in which we're down at the pool in which we really do think of social distancing and we keep our distance, but in those moments we also miss the connection of catching up with old friends, catching up with friends like we always have. Do you see that tension? Are you feeling that tension in your own life? It's all around us, isn't it? We have it here even in our church, social distancing tension, and we have it in our community, even in some of the families in our church, even in the school. Now, you might be wondering, how does the church speak about social distancing rules? I mean, the Bible, the time of the Bible is so different than 2020 this year. Certainly, there's nothing in the Bible that talks about social distancing rules. Mark chapter 5. Boom, our text for today. We have a description of a woman who has a very serious illness. She suffered with this illness, the text says, for 12 years. The illness is this. She has had a discharge of blood. Now, this primarily caused religious challenges. Now, from the book of Leviticus, there are many listings of things that might cause someone to be unclean and in trouble even religiously. And so, in the book of Leviticus, there is this detail of a discharge of blood that will cause someone to be unclean. In addition, the book of Leviticus actually highlights who are the people who are going to be the safety monitors in the community. They were the police. They were the police of safety. They were the priests. They kind of wore referee shirts, black and white, and said clean, unclean. Not exactly. But you get the picture. This was one of the primary roles of the priests of the Old Testament. What is clean? What is unclean? Now, in general, in the book of Leviticus, most things, if you're up at 2 or 3 in the morning, go ahead and read the book of Leviticus. Otherwise, yeah, I don't know. But if you're up at 2 or 3 in the morning, in general, I'll just characterize that book real quickly. Aaron likes the book of Leviticus. Actually, there's some great stuff there. But in the book of Leviticus, in general, most things are rendered clean. Most things are clean. But if ever something is deemed unclean, some serious restrictions came upon that object or person. That brought intense social distancing, physical distancing. The woman described in Mark chapter 5 experienced intense social distancing for not 6 months, for 12 years. Not just 6 feet. Isolation from the community. That's wild. And back in Jesus' day, there were a lot of medical remedies that a person would use just to get back in good order so that they could connect with other people and break the distance and connect with other people. One of those remedies was this, for this exact issue of discharge of blood. You were to take a goblet of wine and mix a powder that included rubber and I think it was alum and some of the flowers from your garden. Yuck. Undoubtedly, this woman had tried that. Another remedy was to crush up an ostrich egg and carry it around in a cloth. I don't see many people doing that today. Undoubtedly, she had gone to every spa, every health treatment, every professional, every doctor, just to break this issue, her social distancing from the community. And boy, does she take a risk in our text from Mark chapter 5 to get better health. In all the miracles of the Gospels, I don't think anyone who received the miracles of Jesus really knew exactly who Jesus was like we do today and could give a statement like we have in the creeds. Not necessarily. I don't think any of them could do that. But this woman, actually, she knew that Jesus was special. She knew that Jesus could do something. She was at wit's end to do anything. She would go to anyone to just be healed. And she took great risks. She risked making the crowd angry. You see, by going through the crowd and going to Jesus, she risked actually making everyone else unclean around her. She had been in the community. Many people knew her issue. They would have been saying, outrageous! She's violating social distancing rules. She risked upsetting Jesus' disciples. See, they were in a rhythm. They were in a very strict time pattern to get Jesus to Jairus' daughter, a very famous person. His daughter was very, very ill. She risked upsetting Jesus because by touching his garment, she made him unclean himself. She quietly goes behind the scene, quietly goes so no one sees her, and she touches the sleeve of Jesus' garment. This is the only time this happens in all the Gospels. Usually when someone wants a miracle, they get Jesus' attention. Hey, Jesus, over here, they say. Or they open a hole up in a ceiling and they drop the paralytic down. They get his attention. This woman is the only one to sneak on by and touch his garment. It's because she wants to honor social distancing rules, but she's desperate. And when she touches Jesus, she's healed. What caused her to do this incredible thing, this incredible act of risking so much, risking the health of other people? What caused her to do this? I want to take you through an exercise just for a moment, and we'll get back to the story. What's the cause of why she did this? Now, if you were to go to the grocery store to get a gallon of milk, what would be the cause? What would be the thing that pushed you to do that, to go get a gallon of milk? Now, one person might say you got to have a driver. That's the cause. Someone who can get in the car and drive the car and make sure that the car gets to the grocery store. That's important. Another person might say, boy, it's the engine in the car. Because you can have a driver, and the driver can put the pedal to the metal, but if you don't have an engine, you're not going to get to the grocery store and get that milk. Another person might say it's a key. The key is really important. Because you could have a driver, you could have an engine, but if you don't have that key, you can't get to the grocery store. Another person might say you got to have gas. You can have all those things, a key, a driver, you could have an engine, but if you don't have gas, the gas is super critical to get. Another person might say the desire to get milk. If you don't have the desire to get milk, then you're not going to the grocery store. Now, if you think about all those things, what is the cause of going to the grocery store for milk? You come to the conclusion that it's all those things together. That's the reason. That's the cause. All those things push you to go to the grocery store to get milk. What's the cause for this woman to go to Jesus and touch his garment? You might think Jesus actually gives an answer. You might think it's a whole bunch of different things. You might have thought, well, it was because her friend asked her to go to the market that day, and Jesus just happened to be there. That's the reason. Jesus might have said, well, it was her feet. Her feet gave her the energy to move her closer to him, and the feet made her well. Someone might say it was her hands. The hand reached out and grabbed his garment. Jesus might have said, your hand and your feet have made you well. Someone might say her illness, that this illness was brought upon her so that somehow she could maneuver away and then meet Jesus ultimately. And you might put it all together and say it's all those things combined together. The feet, the hands, the problem that she had, the friend that asked her to go to the market. Jesus says the clear reason. Jesus says, your faith has made you well. Her faith was the engine that revved her and led her to Jesus. My friends, the good news today for us as Christians is you have that faith inside your hearts. It's been gifted to you. God has carefully made that engine, so to speak, and placed it inside of you to run you and motivate you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says this, it is by grace you are saved by faith. This is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. If you'd study that language there, what is the gift? It's faith. It's grace. It's being saved. God has put together this engine and placed it inside your heart. This faith is the cause for doing good works out in the community in a very difficult time. This faith is what motivates us to serve our neighbor above our own needs in a challenging time when resources are tight. This faith encourages us when we feel social isolation and distance from others. We don't neglect that faith. We don't focus on rules, and it's good to follow rules. Governing authorities are God-given to us, and we should follow the rules, but we should never neglect the faith. That's what leads us to Jesus through his forgiveness, through his body and blood, and that gives us the energy that we need. The most important thing that we can do during this time is to maintenance and maintain the faith inside our hearts. In prayer, in devotion, in a book, in in-person worship, in online worship, however we can maintain that faith. Super important. Martin Luther once said this. He described faith this way. Faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace that makes a person so certain that they'd stake their life on it 1,000 times over. When we look, I think what Luther was maybe thinking of this woman in Mark chapter 5. If you think about the things that she didn't have, the list is long. She didn't have social standing. She didn't have money. She didn't have health. She doesn't even have a name. There's no name for this woman. She's just called a woman. She has nothing. She has faith. And Jesus sees it. Your faith has made you well. As you think about this message, as you take it home, take a list. What are the things that you don't have right now? Maybe you're like the woman. I mean, the things that she didn't have are very common in today's struggling times. She didn't have social standing. Maybe you don't have social standing. She didn't have a name. Maybe you're not connecting like you once had with other people. She didn't have financial resources. She didn't have health. But do you have faith? That is a powerful thing to have. May you deepen that and strengthen that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray about that, and then we'll continue on with our prayers for today. Heavenly Father, there's so many things to concentrate on in the time ahead. We're thinking about school. We're thinking about vacations. We're thinking about all these sorts of things, and they're all wonderful. We praise your name for time to spend with loved ones. But Lord, help us to follow the example of the woman of Mark chapter 5 and to guard and treasure the faith you've given to us. We thank you for what that does. It leads us to your love and the touch of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.